Welcome to Small Business Big Network, the podcast for small business owners who want big results from their networking. I'm Liz Drury, a freelance voiceover artist who knows that if you're not working, then networking could help. Rebecca Newenham is the founder of Get Ahead VA, a business mentor and franchise consultant. She's also the host of a LinkedIn local network event. Thank you very much for being my guest on the podcast today, Rebecca.
I'm thrilled to be here, Liz. It's a real honour. Thank you for having me.
Now, you're the founder of Get Ahead VA and a qualified franchise professional, but let's chat about your background first, because I know that's not what you've always done, is it?
Absolutely not. No. So I guess after uni, did a couple of jobs, and then I fell literally into retail buying, which was a wonderful opportunity for me to work in some really interesting teams and work on products such as feminine hygiene, cosmetics, and cotton wool and baby accessories. So all quite varied. But I think the thing for me is it was always non-food. So I didn't ever do food buying, but ultimately had that magic of being able to create own label products for the likes of Superdrug and Sainsbury's and have that vision, work with people and then see them in the store. And I never get over that lovely sense of seeing it there. It was amazing.
Yeah, that does sound really exciting. So how long did you do that for?
Well, it's funny, isn't it? In my head, it felt like years and years, but actually it was probably only about 4 or 5 years really before I then took a career break to have our children. Mm-hmm. But it's so interesting, is that we look back at pockets of our life and it can feel like forever when actually it's often not the case.
Yeah, that's true. So did you not go back into buying again then after having a family?
No. So I took that opportunity to have what was then called through Sainsbury's, you know, a career break. And this year-long career break became 8 years in the end. But it didn't mean, and I always feel, I don't know why, I feel I have to sort of justify it now and say, well, I did do other things. You know, I had rental property and I did do a counselling foundation course. So I guess what I'm trying to say is it wasn't 8 years of just being mummy.
Yeah.
It was 8 years of a lovely balance. And again, I look back and I keep just sort of describing my life as a Trivial Pursuit pie and those different sections of it. And at the time, you know, 8 years was an honour and a privilege to have that time to devote to being a mum. But also I never felt I was totally mum focused. Yeah. I did have outlets, and that's always been how I've survived, I guess, is getting those outlets.
I love that description of the Trivial Pursuit pie. I think I'm going to keep that for my own life, I think.
I know someone, I have to say, someone did mention it to me a few months ago. And I was like, aha, I like that. Because it is, because I'm very visual, Liz, and I like seeing things like that. And I've got my vision board and I have things up in my office. But I think there's something rather lovely about the fact that the Trivial Pursuit pie can change, can't it? So things can shift. And I think I'm a huge believer in that. When I'm working with some mentoring clients, I'm always saying that as well, that it's not fixed. And I say that to my girls, you know, when they're getting their knickers in a twist about A-levels and things like that. You know, it doesn't stay like that forever.
Yeah, absolutely. So at what point did you decide to start a business?
I guess I'd had inspiration from my mother. She ran what was then called a tutorial agency when my brother and I were growing up. My father was a head teacher. And interestingly, when I speak to her now, and I saw her at the weekend, and she said, oh, your daddy had the idea. And it's like, I know he did. But she was the implementer and she made it a reality. Mm. So she was matching children wanting extra tuition. So she had that flexible bit. So she was around for my brother and I. I remember the office door would be shut and I knew never to disturb her. That's when the answer phone messages were being listened to and things. So I guess, you know, I had living, breathing experience of someone that was creating that work-life balance for herself. And she then went on and trained as a humanistic counsellor. So that I was interested in that for a little bit, which is, as I mentioned, I did a year-long foundation course, but quite quickly thought, no, that's not for me. So I guess I had that idea of wanting something for myself, something that would fit around family life. And Martin, my husband, and I worked together to sort of come up with some ideas. And the world of virtual assistants was huge in the States. They're probably about 10 years ahead of us. So did a bit of research, and Get Ahead was born, Liz, over the kitchen table with sort of brainstorming sessions. And Martin and I go, what are we going to call this business? And didn't want to build it around my mouthful of a surname. And I wanted also a vision. I guess I had a vision coming possibly from my retail buying background of wanting to create a brand, of creating something bigger than me. And I think that's my point of difference always, is I didn't want to be doing it solo on my own.
Yeah.
Although I often refer back to, I do like to be, in inverted commas, in charge, in control, but not in a micromanaging way, more in as a vision setter, and then giving and empowering others to be part of that journey with me.
Yeah. So what did the business look like in those early days?
It looked like me behind a laptop and then me thinking, oh my gosh, how am I actually going to get this off the ground? And that's where networking came onto my radar.
Yeah.
And I had that initial fear, Liz, of, oh my God, I want to stand up in front of people. And all I could do was think about sweaty meetings at work where I was talking about things I wasn't really sure about, or going bright red at school talking about some random topic. Yeah. And everyone's staring at me. We've all been there.
Yep.
And suddenly the focus was different. It was much more personal, I guess, because I was going to be standing up talking about Rebecca and her business. Mm-hmm. So I got over the petrified bit as I quickly identified that actually everyone was in the same boat. We were all there for the same reasons. And I often describe myself as nosy / interested. So, of course, that fed into my whole, oh, this is amazing, going to meetings, not knowing who I'm going to meet, making new friends. And I love that feeling of connecting. And I guess that thread has run over and through my last 14 years of being interested in people, finding out what they do, and then connecting them with others, whether it's outside of the Get Ahead remit or not. So, yeah, networking had to be my platform whereby I was going to get the name out there.
Yeah. And how long did you have the business for before you decided that you wanted to franchise it?
So it must have been about 10 or 12 years. So it grew across the UK and sort of, I use the word globally very loosely, but we had a few clients in other countries. But I then realised actually to scale this properly without me having to be involved in everything meant that regionality played a role in that. Although we're remote and none of my team ever rarely meet clients unless they happen to be locally to them, there still needed to be that traction where somebody was doing what I was doing, but in another area where they built a sense of community and know, like and trust. Mm-hmm. So I tested the water in Bristol, actually. So I'm in Guildford in Surrey. So I saw somebody on Twitter was talking about wanting to do a bit of networking in Bristol. So I did give her some business cards and she sort of tested the water. And it was quite apparent then that actually we had traction here without it being me. So that was my sort of first little insight into it. And then I worked with a franchise consultant. And I think, and I often speak with my franchise consultant hat on and say, I know franchising can be a bit of a sort of an off word for some people. Some people think, oh no, you know, they naturally will think of their own experience or one they've heard where there's the greedy franchise owner and they take money and never to be seen again. So I guess I always had that in the back of my mind, but very quickly recognised that actually franchising is an ethical business. And it was very important to me that if I was going to do this properly, that I invested in working with the right people and had the right legal agreements and all of that jazz.
And so, how easy was the process?
I really enjoyed it, actually, Liz. I really liked it. And I've loved being part then of a new world, a new community of franchising that obviously I hadn't had experience of before. And we're part of the British Franchise Association, and that's opened lots of doors to meeting different people, new clients. So, yeah, it's lovely. But what I suppose I've never wanted is to be embraced in 100% that world. I've always wanted then to have my mentoring and other things to balance it.
Yeah,
I think, which is important. And I guess we all need that, don't we? That sense of balance.
Yeah, absolutely. So how many franchisees are there now?
There are currently 8. We're launching a new one tomorrow. So I've got the lovely Hazel that found us, and she is going to be launching with in my hometown of Tunbridge Wells. So she's going to be in Kent.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited about that. So I've been busy preparing for her. And it's lovely for me every time we launch a new, we call them regional partners now. So every time we launch a new regional partner, I get to really understand somebody, because it's really interesting in those first few days and weeks you become really involved with somebody, and it's really fascinating. And I love the fact that again the thread for everyone is that work-life balance and flexibility. So it's lovely to award somebody that opportunity.
So tell me about what Get Ahead VA does. What do you do for your clients?
Very good question. So a wide range of activities from telephone answering. So I have a team in Glasgow that support our clients doing that. Virtual PA support. So that can be anything from diary management, organising meetings, or any support for a founder, mm-hmm. right through to social media, various forms of marketing strategy and implementation, PR, websites. So really anything that a standard small business owner needs support with, we can find them that support, and we're seen as an alternative then to recruiting somebody.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting. We get clients at different stages, but I remember in the early days when a client suddenly said, actually, you know, you've really proven to me that I need this resource, so I'm going to employ someone. I could have been initially a bit sort of sad about that, but actually mm-hmm. what we really quickly realized was how amazing, you know, with our support and the skill that we have internally, we've proven to somebody that they need that level of support, and recruiting is the answer.
Do you get asked for anything out of the ordinary, unusual?
That's a good point. Not that I can remember. We supported a comedian who was really interesting, so that was lovely. So in terms of people, we've had some sort of interesting support, but I suppose I'm not close enough to know the ins and outs. And that's an interesting thing, Liz, as well. Mm. Now that I've sort of gained traction, I'm choosing to do the things I really want to do. So I'm not as close to it. And I think that's mm-hmm. always been really important for me. Whatever I'm doing, I want to do it for absolutely the right reasons and be the best person to do that. So it's been interesting. I've now got a team that run the southern area, so I don't really have huge interactions with clients anymore. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting. And I suppose that's that whole bit, isn't it? It's how life evolves. And I've always been quite hot on doing things that give me the right energy and joy to do them. So my focus really is on promoting the opportunity to join us as a franchisee.
Yeah. And so the franchisees, and well, obviously you used to do this yourself. How do they find the experts that, you know, that their clients need?
Yes. So we manage all of that for them. So that's been a big piece of work we've done over the last couple of years, of making sure that the resourcing is done by the head office team. So right. we can definitely keep an eye on making sure everyone's got the right sort of insurance, they've got the right experience. And we generally use virtual experts that have been doing this kind of work for a minimum of 2 years. Mm-hmm. What we don't want is our clients feeling that the team are learning on the job. Yeah. So those sorts of things are important to us. But I'm also very aware that the resourcing is a time-consuming activity for anyone. So that's a real positive for some franchisee joining us, is that they've already got this ready-made team. I almost see it like baby birds in a nest, you know, mm-hmm. they're all there waiting to be fed some lovely work. So, but that being said, I still encourage the franchisees, regional partners, if they come across any freelancers within their local networks, that if they feel that we would benefit each other, then they'll do that introduction, because I'm very aware that working with us is around that sense of community, and it can be isolating, can't it, as a freelancer working on your own.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I know you do some mentoring as well, don't you? You mentioned that earlier in the conversation. So tell me about the mentoring and who it is that you mentor.
So I generally mentor a couple of clients at a time. So it's really a sort of lovely little add-on for me. So generally female founders that simply need, I say simply, sort of lightly, but then they need a cheerleader in their space. And I would often say that if I hadn't had coaching or mentoring over the last sort of 14 years, I probably wouldn't be married or have any friends left, because I would have been chatting to them the whole time. But I've had eight coaches and mentors over the last 14 years for different things. Mm. And I've really respected the power that that's given me to move forward and just to have that sounding board. So I thought, actually, I've had all this experience of running a business, and somebody approached me. I thought, actually, yes, I would really like that. So I love working with clients to sort of just really see what they're needing. And it's wonderful for me to see when they take action. Because I guess I probably, you could argue, I've mentored my team, certainly my franchisees, mm-hmm. for the last 6 years. And I do that regularly. So it just felt like another lovely addition. And I find it fascinating, Liz, listening to people's businesses. And it's, mm-hmm. you know, it's a privilege, again, to be part of that. And then I'm also a franchise consultant, which is a similar scenario, but actually working with businesses that want to scale through a franchise model. And for that, I'm working as a consultant for part of a team. And I hadn't realized actually how lovely it is to work as a team myself, rather than me, you know, being in charge and having to lead everything. It's rather refreshing.
Yeah. So let's come to the networking now, which you have sort of mentioned already. Was networking something that you did from the start when you got to get ahead going?
Yes, and it really was how I got it going. Mm-hmm. So I remember Googling and going to a meeting, and then what morphed then into me supporting actually the owners of that networking group. And then weirdly, I was talking to some of my mummy friends, and one of them said, oh, I know this lady who runs a networking group. So I then provided that networking group with admin, and that networking group then asked if I would be interested in launching my own one in mm-hmm. Guildford. So it's so interesting how things happen, isn't it? And I remember again going, oh, I've got to run one. And then, but actually, I love it. So I've maintained running groups as and when I can. And over the last 5 years, I've been running a LinkedIn local networking group in Guildford, which simply, as it says on the tin, you know, LinkedIn, members of LinkedIn, we all see each other's faces, don't we, on there? It's quite static. You're not quite sure who people are behind the profile. So this is simply a networking group, and it's under the LinkedIn local umbrella. And I love that because it's sort of building a local community and enables me, because I'm not doing much networking for Get Ahead, it enables me to feel a connection locally to business owners. And it's in the evening and people seem to really like that. And I think a little bit of alcohol sometimes goes a long way. So, but that's been a really nice way of just keeping my hand in. And as I said, I love hosting things. I'm naturally interested in connecting people. So for me to see business being done as a result of people attending my group, it's like, really magical. It's great.
Yeah. So how often do you hold those meetings?
So I hold them monthly, but funnily enough, on Wednesday, I'm launching a daytime one, so coffee and chat. So I was asked if I would bring some people to promote a local cafe. So I've got 50 people signed up to come along to that on Wednesday. So it'll be quite interesting, because I think there are two camps, aren't there, Liz? Probably people that prefer evenings, those that like mornings, and then some that are in between. So it'll be interesting to see. And I've introduced a sponsorship over the last few months, because I was finding with numbers, so the evening ones, we can have over 100 people booked on. And I think you would probably resonate with this. When you go to a networking meeting, there's nothing worse than just someone ticking you off and letting you loose. And you sort of think, where do I go? So I really, my sort of passion really is in making sure that everyone that attends, if they're a bit uncertain, that I'll, hand them over and introduce them to somebody, because I want them to have a good evening. And I think those initial bits are vital in how you feel about something, isn't it? And I was listening to a podcast last week, and they said, little tip is, if you're ever a little bit anxious, the best place to stand is next to the bar or somewhere serving refreshments. Because actually, once someone's got a drink, whether it's daytime and it's a coffee, once they've got the drink, they're grounded, that they're ready to start a conversation. So if you're loitering there, you're actually quite in the right space to start having some decent conversations. So I thought that was quite a good little tip.
Yeah, I think that's a good tip too. Yeah. So do you find that you get the same people coming along to these events month on month, or is it a mixture of new people and old people?
Yeah. So always a core group, but generally a lot of newbies as well. And I always feel each meeting therefore has a different flavour, which is interesting. And we've done a little road show during the winter, because where we were originally was too small for being inside. So that's been a lovely introduction as well. So venues locally to me have been able to sort of showcase what they can deliver and give a drink on arrival and things like that. So actually that's opened up a whole new world. So I'm getting to know some lovely venues, and I think they really appreciate me bringing a different crowd along. So it's a bit of a win-win all round.
Yeah. So what do you think that the people who come along get from those meetings?
They get a sense of connection, I think. And often I'll say, if you're looking for a particular connection to a particular industry, do come and let me know. So I think if people are quite keen to be introduced to a certain type of person, then I can do that. But I think a lot of people are just wanting an opportunity to relax and have easy conversation that might morph into something else. Because then, as we all know, there are various networking groups that all have a different way of being, don't they? And they all have their own personality. But I think the fact that this is relaxed in the evening certainly makes a difference.
Yeah. And are they all people that are connected to you on LinkedIn or not?
No. Although they are by the end of the year.
Yeah.
And I will, that's a good point actually. So when people book on, they do it through Eventbrite, and then I will generally hunt them down on LinkedIn before, just to sort of say, no, really looking forward to seeing you. But so no, in general, no, they're not previous connections, but they are new connections.
Yeah. So, your network must have grown massively since you've been doing this.
Oh no, it really has. I love it. I know. And the whole, I was talking to somebody earlier that's doing yoga for men. He's running a local business for that. And I sort of thought, all these fascinating businesses that you just don't know exist until you're in that arena. It's fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And so what would you say that that you have got out of networking, and what would the reasons be for encouraging new people to come along?
So I would say, certainly develop from a personal point of view. So my sort of personal development, so my confidence has definitely grown. And I would also say we've definitely gained clients with the Get Ahead ones, and I've made some mentoring clients and connections through it. But I have just got a real sense of connection locally. So I can walk down our local high street and generally I'll know at least one or two people. And that for me, irrespective of being a mother and having children locally, I feel I've got a lovely presence in the local business community, and that for me is important.
Yeah, I think that's really valuable. Well, thank you very much for being my guest. My final question, Rebecca, if people want to know more about you or Get Ahead or your LinkedIn local that you run, what's the best place for them to find you?
I guess LinkedIn is probably the best one, or our website, which is just getaheadva.com. But no, I hang out on LinkedIn a lot, so always welcome a new connection on there. And thank you. You've been a wonderful host.
Thank you for being my guest. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to Small Business Big Network. If you found this podcast useful, please do rate, review and subscribe. And don't forget to share it with the rest of your network too.